they had to do what they did to make room for the new speaker of the majority bloc.
He is not the speaker. He has not been elected speaker. The current speaker has not been removed. And so their actions are dangerous, are counterproductive to our governing system. And I hope that the executive will start aiding and engaging these people so that they can come to their senses. And then the legislature, the House of Representatives, can sit in one place in trying to resolve this issue.
So tell me, what is going to happen now? Can this majority bloc go ahead and conduct the business of the House of Representatives without you?
The court has just reiterated through one of the justices that their actions are illegal. The cornerstone of our democracy is rule of law. They are representative today because we have rule of law. Therefore, we all have to respect the rule of law.
Representative Musa Hassan Baliti is a member of the so-called Rule of Law Caucus at the Liberian House of Representatives. He was speaking with us from the capital, Monrovia. Niger is set to hold a national convention to map out its long-awaited political transition following the July 2023 coup that deposed President Mohamed Bazoum. Junta leader General Abdourahmane Chiani says the dialogue will be inclusive, set governance priorities, and determine the transition timeline. Timothy Obiezu reports from Abuja.
Niger's military announced on state television last Saturday that the national convention will take place from February the 15th to the 19th. Authorities say the meeting is expected to produce a preliminary draft of the transition charter. Junta leader General Abdourahmane Chiani had initially committed to a three-year transition after seizing power from President Mohamed Bazoum in July 2023. But months of silence on the issue filled uncertainty among Nigerians and international observers. Ibrahim Farouk, program coordinator for the African division at YAGA Africa, says the convention is a step in the right direction.
I think why this is important is that democratic stability in the West African sub-region has the area of creating a ripple effect. We saw how once there were coups and attempted coups in some of these countries, it caused a ripple effect. But beyond just a return to democratic governments, it must also provide the promise of development that comes with democracy as well.
Ahead of the convention, authorities held consultations across Niger's 8 regions and formed a national commission to oversee the dialogue. At the end of the meeting, the commission is expected to submit a final report to Chiani within 3 weeks. The July 2023 coup triggered widespread condemnation, including threats of military intervention from the Regional Economic Community of West African States, or ECOWAS. Niger's political crisis reflects a broader trend in the Sahel, where military takeovers have become more frequent amid escalating jihadist threats and growing resentment towards civilian governments. Farouk believes Niger could set a positive example.
Mali, the Republic of Niger, and Burkina Faso, who have witnessed unconstitutional changes of government. And I think one common thread that has been running through these 3 countries is that there hasn't been an adherence to previously agreed transition timelines. But I hope that with this step in the Republic of Niger, it would signal to their brothers in Mali and in Burkina Faso that indeed there is an importance to return back to a democratically elected government.
Mali and Burkina Faso, both under military rule, have extended their transition timelines despite initially pledging a quicker return to democracy. Timothy Obiezu, VOA News, Abuja, Nigeria.
The Malawi government has announced the immediate implementation of a ban on the production, importation, use, and export of thin plastic of less than 60 microns. The decision comes 9 years after legal battles with manufacturing companies that resisted the ban. Lamek Masina reports from Blantyre.
Environment experts say thin plastics take a long time to degrade, and therefore they contaminate soil for a long time when buried. However, Malawi banned the use of thin plastics in March 2015 in response to global concerns around the environmental damage from thin plastics. However, a series of court injunctions secured by the country's plastics manufacturers delayed its implementation. The plastics manufacturers, mainly business people of Indian origin, argued that the ban would negatively impact local communities, industry, and the economy. They argued that the government should instead collaborate with the Plastics Manufacturers Association to address plastic waste management. However, in his ruling last week, High Court Judge Howard Pemba removed the injunctions. Judge Pemba also dismissed an appeal from the plastic manufacturers for a judicial review on the matter, saying such successful actions on the same issue were an abuse of the court process. Yusuf Nkungula is the Principal Secretary for Natural Resources and Climate Change in Malawi. He told reporters Monday that the court's verdict means the ban on thin plastics stands and its implementation is with immediate effect. Nkungula said those violating the ban will face law, as stated in regulations against thin plastics.
First of all, people can be imprisoned between maybe 3 months and upwards, based on the severity of the offense. And secondly, the regulations also provide for confiscation of any equipment that is used for producing, manufacturing, distribution, and even the use of thin plastics.
Malawi has long struggled with plastic pollution. A 2019 policy brief by the United Nations Development Programme estimated that the country produces at least 75,000 tons of plastic annually, with 80% being single-use and non-recyclable. Environmental activists in Malawi have long complained that plastics are frequently discarded in household rubbish pits and dumped in landfills, clogging gutters on roadsides and cluttering rivers in urban centers. Wilfred Jadewa is the director of the Malawi Environment Protection Authority. He says efforts are underway to educate people on the ban and that using thin plastics is now an offense.
We use different types of media, the print and electronic media. We also work with educational institutions. We work with community groups to pass on the message on what has happened with regards to the law and what the expectation is.
Kadewa says people should now start using alternatives like paper bags and other carriers. However, Principal Secretary Nkungula says the government will soon conduct nationwide inspections to ensure compliance with the ban. For VOA Africa, I am Lamek Masina in Blantyre.
And that's it for this Wednesday, February 12th edition of Daybreak Africa. We thank you for coming on board with us this morning. For more Africa news and features, visit our website at voaafrica.com. Connect with us on all social media platforms. We are on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We are also on YouTube, where you can watch our TV shows, Africa 54, Straight Talk Africa, and Red Carpet. On behalf of the Daybreak Africa team, I am James Barton in Washington, saying, have a lovely day.